Good morning, Trinity. It's good to see you here this morning in this nice, wet morning. And we're glad that you're here. And I just remind everybody, there are two cards. What color are they? Very good. And what do you do with them? Fill them out. Does it matter whether you're a member or a visitor? You still fill them out, right? So we'd love to have you fill those out, and we welcome you this day. A special warm welcome to our visitors as well. And we'd like to have you welcome one another at this point, if you would. Thank you. We make our beginning this morning. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 4. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching to the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we were being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 3. "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet he closes his heart against them, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel for this Sunday is recorded in the book of St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the flock and the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock with one shepherd. And for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one has taken it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Here ends the gospel. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon each of you this day. Our text is taken from the gospel lesson. If you'd like to join us there with the PowerPoint, that'd be great. The Good Shepherd, please pray with me. Lord Jesus, help us to understand your role in our life and our role as we follow you as sheep of your pasture and of your flock. Help us this day to learn from your word and be comforted by your presence in our life, in our world, and we thank you for your presence among us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And then he said, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Rabbinic culture of the New and Old Testament would tell us that a shepherd that's watching over a flock that is attacked by a wolf, if it's a single wolf, that shepherd is responsible for the caring and the keeping of the flock and cannot desert the flock or leave it unprotected. However, for those who see that the wolves are attacking, in plural, and that there are one not only, but many rather, they see themselves as unable to defend the flock. And rabbinic culture says they're no longer duty bound. And that's what Jesus is really telling us when he talks about he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, he does not own the sheep. He sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep. And he flees, and the wolf snatches them and tears them apart because he cares nothing for them. You might say it this way: hired hands are not willing to stay. They may be saying something like, this is just a job. I'm out of here. This is not what I signed up for. My friends, as you and I start to look at our world and our life, despite all of our modern levels of education, legislation, socialization, politicization, and urbanization, our society is truly no better off than it was a generation or more ago. For many of the same ills still follow us, possess us, and are still problematic. Our society is sick. Our world is wearied by war and rumors of war, and we as a people are crying out for help, looking for hope somewhere. We live in cities and towns with high-priced homes. We have frenzied families that are so schedule-bound, and the lifestyles are like smoldering volcanoes waiting to explode and erupt if anyone gets off schedule. Is that your house? When I think of all the busyness that we have in our society today, from one meeting to the next, and trying to just schedule a time for dinner, it seems as though we cannot do it very, very easily. And then we're reminded by things on the nightly news, such as Pulse, that happened just a few blocks south of us here, and the Parkland shootings down in southern Florida. Our families and our societies and our individuals are truly under enormous assault. We might say that the flock is being attacked, that there's a legion of wolves who are attacking us as sheep. And we might say that any shepherd would not be duty-bound for all of these attacks and should run. But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I'm not a hireling. I'll stay with you. I'll protect you. I'll be with you. As individuals, I want you to know the Bible does tell us that we too are sinners. We not only live in a sin-filled society, we are ourselves sinners, that we have fallen short of God's commands and expectations. Sure, we try very hard, and we may be able to say, next to our neighbor, we're not so bad, or the people that are in the newspaper or on the nightly news, certainly we're not that bad. But I'd like to just have you take a look here. Nice clear water, right? I'll drink it, some of it. Now, had I offered it to you first, would you have drank it? Perhaps. Probably. How about would you? There's a lot of trust among our elders. You can tell that, huh? Now, I want you to look at this. With one squeeze, look at the difference. Look at the difference. Can you see it back there? Good. I hear your heads rattling. That's good. Now, what would you say if I told you that inside of this tube was not only food coloring, but poison? Bon appetit. Would you drink? Would you partake? I think most of us say, no, not so much, Pastor. I'm good. I want you to see this illustration with just one little squeeze. It changed the entire glass of water. It is said that the devil himself will hide a pint of poison in an ocean of truth. And as you and I start to think about this little illustration about how pervasive sin is in our life and how it gets in there and it changes everything. In fact, it poisons everything in our life. Sin, my friends, is lawlessness. It's living beyond God's boundaries. But you know what? We can't help it. We're born that way. In my ministry in Tennessee, one of the congregations that we started there, there's a man named Charles Spann. He was a young man, but he's born without two working, fully functioning kidneys. He only had one kidney that was at all working by the time I met him. And it had started to really go downhill. He couldn't help it. He was born that way. But the doctors told him that soon the poison from his own body would contaminate and kill him. He was condemned to die. He couldn't help, nor could he save himself. He needed a kidney transplant. His father, Don, out of all the tests, was a perfect match for his son, Charles. Don could give his own kidney, his own flesh, to his own flesh and blood, and through his sacrifice could give life to his son through a one-time surgery that would save his son's life. Don was an elder. That's a pretty hard deal, wouldn't it be? But he loved his son, and that's what he did. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd who will give up his life to defend and protect us. Not giving just a kidney, but his entire being. His heavenly Father and our heavenly Father said Jesus would become flesh and would give that which would save our life so that we could have life. Like Charles, we were born this way with sin. It had pervasively gone throughout our entire body and was poisoning us, condemning us to eternal death. There was nothing to filter out the poison of sin. We could not help, nor could we save ourselves. Only our Heavenly Father, giving His own Son as a sacrifice, could save us. And Jesus, the good physician, made that one-time sacrifice to pay for your sins and for mine so that we would not perish but would have everlasting life. Yes, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Intimacy. A closeness is really what Jesus is speaking about. A oneness with Jesus. A oneness with the Heavenly Father. An attachment spelled out in love that was self-sacrificial in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For those of you who are mothers and can remember the days when you're raising your children, I bet if there was a group of babies over here crying, you could pick out which one from when you're where you're seated right now. You could pick out which one was yours. If it was crying, you would know it. And I remember Desiree, my wife, often at night, in the middle of the night, would say, during those young child's years, she'd say, I got to get up. I got to go check the baby. I know I got to go check the baby. And sure enough, she needed to go and check the baby. And sometimes she said, get up, go check the baby. But what I want you to know is she was usually right. There was an innate sense, like another sensory perception of what this child needed. And I want you to know that's how it is with God. He intimately knows you that much. He's that connected to you. Even before there's a word on your tongue regarding the prayer that you're praying on your heart, even before it drops from here down to your tongue, God has already heard it and begun to answer it. As you and I see the intimacy and the love of God, Jesus uses a word, I know my own, and the Greek word is gnosko, which means I know you so intimately, it's the knowledge and the intimacy that a husband and a wife have that is a oneness. And he says, my own know me. A closeness of a bond of loving and caring, a friendship that cannot be broken, a self-sacrificial, agape kind of love. He also describes it as a mutual one. He says, and my own know me. How about you? Do you feel that close to Jesus? Do you feel as though He's coming closer to you in your life? As you worship Him, as you pray to Him, as you read the pages of His holy word? Do you want a relationship with Jesus, your good shepherd? How do you hear the voice of Jesus? I want you to know that I hear the voice of Jesus as I open the Bible. And as I start to see that He is being speaking to me through the pages of His holy word. Last Wednesday evening when we read a few passages out of the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. You may want to do this at home. Joshua 1, 1 to 9. You can pick another part of scripture. But I told the class, I said, take 10 minutes and write down 10 things that you've just learned from reading this section of scripture. It was insightful. God had told them, among other things, that He would be with them and that they were to be strong and courageous. As they heard the words of Joshua, and they started to think, this is what God also says to us. I hear the voice of Jesus as He speaks to me through the pages of His word, the Bible. As I read, and I need to pause and not just read it like a newspaper where I just skim the headlines. This is God speaking to you. I need to ask, God, what are you teaching me here in these words, in this chapter? What is it that you're wanting me to learn? And take a moment and jot those things down. Where are you leading me? Jot those things down. And the third question, what will I do with it? How will I apply it to my life? Jesus said, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. The church universal is what we call that. It's composed of all believers. He being the one universal, He being the one shepherd, and we being His sheep. I want you to know that as you and I start to look at this section of scripture and we start to see that Jesus is speaking of other people, of other flocks, what He's telling, or of the other flock from other sources, what is He telling us? We're not all going to be Lutheran, but He's still speaking to all of us. Does not the Bible tell us that anyone, everyone, all who believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved? Any one of you, all of you, and each of you. Jesus is the one shepherd. And we are that one flock. I am one among many of your shepherds over the past nearly 100 years. You know, though, each of us have played the same role, pointing you to Jesus. Pointing you to Jesus. In all the things you do, in all of the areas of your life, no matter what you go through, you will hear your pastor speaking to you about Jesus. For this reason, the Father loves me, Jesus said, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one has taken it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. How much did Jesus love you? Someone said, this much. In Jesus' name, may God bless you and keep you and be with you all the days of your life. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Savior Jesus, we thank you that you are indeed our good shepherd. We thank you, O Lord, as we come before your throne of mercy and grace, that you hear our voice, our cries for help, our pleads for mercy and grace, and for you to be there to protect us, to give us that peace that surpasses all human understanding. Lord, we thank you for answered prayers, that we come before your throne and your grace and we simply have to say, Abba, Daddy. And what a privilege it is for us to come to you and to be able to pray, Our Father. Because you, O Lord, are King of kings and Lord of lords, the one who created the heavens and the earth and who sent and who came to give your life to save ours. Lord, we give you thanks for that. We ask you also, Lord Jesus, that you would be with those who are suffering in any way, and that you would hear our prayers said on their behalf that have been requested.
Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with the Gilchrist County Sheriff's Office and all the families that were affected by the terrible, terrible act. Be with them, and Lord, we ask that you help us shine and stop the hate that goes throughout the world by sharing your love, and keep all of those who have dedicated their lives to protecting us safe. Lord, be with Jerry as she goes through surgery to remove the scar tissue in her eye. Guide the hands of the surgeons, and we ask, Lord, that you heal her and restore her vision. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of having a church and school. We ask your blessing to be upon our school, to be able to, as we enroll new students, to help us to minister to and to be not only in ministry to the students, but to their parents. Help us as a church to reach out to them and they to us, and help us to connect. I pray, O Lord, that you would hear this prayer. Lord, in your mercy, we ask, O Lord, that you would be with our congregation as we inch closer to the second century of ministry. Lord, we thank you for the first 100 and the many things that you've accomplished for those founding pastors and people who worked together to connect people in this community with the precious saving gospel message that you came to save and to give us, so that they may have life everlasting. And for the foundation that they have laid for a church and school, we give you thanks. Help us to now be faithful stewards, leaders among this community, to reach out with the precious gospel of Jesus Christ and to share it without and within our entire community, in our sight of our own homes, inside of all that we do upon this campus, and outside of this campus, as we leave the walls of the confines of this church property. May we be your witnesses to this world and our community. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, hear the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and damnation and has given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Our Lord and Savior Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had broken it and gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, in the same manner, he also took the cup, And after he had supped and had given thanks, he gave it unto them, saying, Take ye and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As oft as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. This cup which we bless, is it not the cup of participation in the blood of Christ? This bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? O taste and see that the Lord is good. Come, for all is now ready. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. O Lord, we again approach your throne of grace and also bring this prayer petition before you, one of thanks and celebration for the Brinks, Mark and Mary Beth, who have become grandparents this morning. We thank you for the birth of a healthy baby girl to Brian and to Rachel. May God, you bless them and this child all the days of her life. O God, the Father, and the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you.
Thy Spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. This is the last weekend that we will collect for the church gifts for the VBK families. Beginner's Bible for each of the 78 VBK graduates is what we're trying to accomplish or give away. While some will continue into our ministry at K through 8 and the school ministry, others, this is the conclusion of their time with us at Trinity. So giving these Bibles to each one makes it possible by member donation each year, and a very meaningful gift for our school families, and ensures that the Word of God goes with each of them. So this year we have 78 students graduating. The cost of the Bibles are $12 each. You'll see a poster in the narthex with the details. Please consider your donation to continue this tradition and sending the Word of God home with every VPK graduate of the CDC. Thank you. Also, in your pew, if you've had any kind of contact information change, address, phone number, email address, please take the large blue card in your pew and fill out the information. If there is no changes, the normal, regular size blue card is fine. Thank you. This is Pastor Doug. Thanks again for worshiping with us.
Thank you. I wanted to just make you aware. The CDC children of the 4 year, 3 and 4s, and some of the 7th and 8th graders actually, the upper grades, I'll say, of our K-8 school ministry, sang with us last evening, Saturday evening, and several of the parents were here. You know, as you consider this donation, extra donation of some money for some Bibles, for $12, you know, you can put the Word of God in a young child's life. We've helped them learn how to read that Bible. And now with this Bible, hopefully they'll take it with them the rest of the days of their life and having that Word of God. So I do ask you to consider that. The Servant Saturday, I'd just like you to hear about that. Servant Saturday is an opportunity for the whole Trinity family, May 19th. And it's from 9 to 11, 2 hours. And we're together, we're going to be joining a ministry called from Central Florida Commission on Homelessness, I should say, called Hope. And this team will train us and allow us to know how we can share our faith with them, how we can be in ministry to them, and also how we can make the biggest impact in their lives as our neighbors. We ask that if you would come at 9 a.m. to the Orange Avenue area, I believe that's right outside in our Magnolia, just a block away from the Magnolia building, just to the, I guess that'd be to the west. We'll be receiving training from the Central Florida Commission on Homelessness and be a part of a group directly engaging with folks downtown with homelessness. So we hope you can consider that. A lot of us don't know what to do with the guy that walks up and down the line as we're driving our cars, and what we do when we're seeing a need and an opportunity and yet don't know if that's the right way to handle it. I think this will be a benefit to you. So please consider that. I would like to thank you also for worshiping with us here this morning, and also please join us in our closing hymn, and please join us by standing and singing How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. Go in peace and serve the Lord with joy.